Hey Joe, I like your show. I tell everybody that's my shit. And if you got a long ride and you like getting high, maybe go and take another hit. We gonna laugh out loud, that's what it's about. Nobody ain't safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause the motherfucker's 6'4". Hey Joe, it's time to start the show. Up, up and away we go. Mic check and I like your flow. Everybody, here's Joe.
Hello everybody and welcome to episode 8 of the Joe Prano podcast. I am Joe Prano and I am especially excited for this week's episode. If you guys recall in my teaser episode, I mentioned I don't know how long it would be before I have somebody on to talk comedy. Talking comedy with comedians I think has been done a significant amount on in the podcast world. But a couple of things happened this week that led me to this week's guest. The first one was I got many messages asking me to weigh in on Louis C.K. returning to comedy. And I thought, how weird would that be if I just sat and did a monologue about what I felt about Louis C.K. returning? So I had to have somebody to talk to about that. And then the second thing was I went over to Lachlan Patterson's garage sale this weekend, and he was selling the Kooks Bell. And I put out on Twitter that the Kooks Bell was for sale. We got multiple messages about it, and the high bid on Twitter got up to $45. I messaged Lachlan, and he said it actually sold at the garage sale. And then hours after that, I got a message from somebody that said, I will pay you $500 for the bell.
Holy fuck.
If you sit down with Lachlan for one final episode of the Kooks of Comedy, I'll pay $500 plus shipping. And I said, unfortunately, the bell is gone. But if I know that there's that kind of passion out there, I think I got to call Lachlan and sit down and talk some comedy with my old podcast co-host, Lachlan Patterson.
We still have that tiki thing.
We still have the totem. Let's throw that out there on the Twitter auction.
We got the signed surfboard still up.
Yep. Oh, that's right. The surfboard.
With all the guests signed.
Isn't it nice to just be able to say surfboard and not even have to worry
surf,
about it?
Surf, dude.
Surfy surfness.
What's surf?
You're wearing a surf mom hat?
Surf, man. Wow.
How you been, buddy?
Good. It's been crazy, man. It's been crazy, right?
Since
we last recorded.
So for those of you who don't know, Lachlan and I used to co-host the Kooks of Comedy podcast together. My original podcast. I mean, I don't even know how many podcasts I've done at this point, but the first, the OG was the Kooks of Comedy. And I forget how many episodes we did of that, but right before I started, I said episode 8, and what'd you say?
The Alex Ovechkin episode.
It's nice. It's nice to have you back, buddy.
Joe Ochoprano. Thanks, man.
So first things first, I have a lot of things I want to talk to you about that I haven't, you know, we haven't sat down and done the podcast thing in a while, but I got about a dozen messages in the last 2 days that said, hey, on your podcast, you have to talk about... I need to know what you think about Louis C.K. Coming back. So, what do you make of the return of Louis?
I mean, we texted back and forth. I think we're on the same page of two things. You know, obviously the balls to just show up. That bothered me a little bit. Like
he did just a drop in at the Comedy Cellar. He was not announced on the lineup.
Moontown, as she's called on your podcast.
Yep.
Told me
that was that's your
theory.
Significant other.
My significant other said, "Well, that's what the media has suggested, but wouldn't that be what you would suggest?" Essentially, Louis could have called them and said, "Hey, I don't want you to be part of this, so I'm just going to say I'm going to drop in, but I want to ask you first if I can drop in."
Mm-hmm.
And the guy might have said, "Sure."
So the owner of the Comedy Cellar, did you see it? He did an extensive interview.
He did. I read it.
Yeah. So do you think that maybe he's still just sticking with like maybe there was a strategy, but this is going to be how we play it no matter what happens?
I think he's in a bind because Louis is one of the comedians, if not the only comedian responsible for making the Comedy Cellar as successful as it is. He put it in his actual TV series on FX.
Right.
So I think he owed Louis C.K., and I understand. I understand if Louis C.K. said, if you get a phone call from your house manager saying, hey, Louis is here, what should I do? Whatever he wants. I'm sorry, but he started my business, and he can ruin it.
Yeah.
And he did, in a way. He ruined it for a lot of girls, with a lot of people. And so, but that's unfortunately.
I was talking to my manager about the whole drop-in and everything, and the one person that I still don't know who it was, but the one person that I was thinking of in this whole thing is, who was the MC and what was going through that person's head? And I said to myself, I don't know that I would have brought Louis up. I don't know. I might have said.
You would have.
I don't know.
You already had to do it with Dane Cook.
Yeah.
You know what you'd do.
But I didn't. I don't. I mean, Dane. Like, I mean, I'm not the biggest Dane Cook fan, but there's no.
And you put him up, though.
Right. But there's no. There's no. Like, I wasn't even saying it in that I was in the judgment of what Louis did, even though it's obviously super creepy. I don't approve. I don't think he should be welcomed back with open arms. But just going, like, I don't want any part. I don't want to be a part. I don't want to be a part of this story. I don't want anybody a part of this return.
Right.
I don't want to be. Can somebody else? Can we God mic him?
But easier to say after it's done and you get to look. But I'll tell you, when you're in it, it's happening, it's late, and it's all happening very fast. You'd be surprised what you end up doing. And I forgive everyone in the situation for doing what they did, because you don't know what it's like to be in that situation. You can only sit from behind, wake up in the morning, sip on your coffee, and think about it.
Right.
But you don't have time to sit and then think about it. Let me get a coffee, Louis.
And when you're up there, you don't have time to think.
You don't. What's that from?
Top Gun.
That's Top Gun?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, but so that aside, we're talking about Louis C.K.
Right.
If we talk about Louis C.K. returning, clearly I think it's too early, because it's created a huge – everyone's got articles. Because my whole feed is different stupid articles. I've tried reading them. They're all stupid.
Now there's like the last one was two women didn't like the show.
Right.
And
he
did
a rape whistle joke.
Yeah.
So there we go. So let's talk about the material.
Right.
That is what I feel like is the most. I think I would have sat in the room and gone, this is the wrong material. This is all wrong.
And apparently, and again, everything is sort of hearsay. We didn't hear about it until Tuesday. And so you think, oh, this was a Monday night show and we're hearing about it. But it turns out it was Sunday night, and he had done a show on Long Island before he had come there.
Yes, I heard
and
that.
But one thing everybody seems to be consistent on is he didn't say anything about it.
His first joke, and I texted you, his first joke should have been, if anyone wants to leave, I'm not going to stop you.
Right.
That would have crushed.
Yeah.
And it would have broken the ice. On what's really going on here is, you all are uncomfortable right now because I did something. Let me break the ice. Let me start talking about it, and so that you can feel more comfortable. That's what we do as comedians, especially if you have something weird. You know, like comedians who walk on, like Josh Blue. Imagine going on stage for the first time as Josh Blue. A similar thing where people feel uncomfortable, they don't know what to feel. You have to have an icebreaker.
And no one needed an icebreaker more than Louis.
Right.
Which, it's sort of amazing. Everybody kind of agreed before the incident, before the story broke of the whole, you know, everything he did, that he was the heavyweight champ. Yeah. That no one was bigger in comedy than Louis. How does he not know he needs an icebreaker?
Amazing.
Now, I have a theory. What about this?
He knows.
What about that? So my prediction originally was early 2019, he'll be back. He'll do the I'm Keeping It in My Pants tour.
Right.
Or the whatever. And what if he's just going to try to pop around for a while doing the material, working it out, and then that stuff, that 10 minutes or 15-minute chunk that's going to lead the next hour – is the last thing that he reveals, or maybe he doesn't reveal it until, because that's the real story. That's the real material. We all know, like, when Chris Rock's hosting the Oscars or whatever, oh, he's at the Comedy Store. He was trying these Oscar jokes. Jeff Ross was trying these roast jokes. if you're really knowledgeable about comedy, you know the jokes before they debut. Any chance he's got that stuff, but he's saving it?
Two things are wrong with that strategy. If that strategy is his strategy, two things are wrong. One is that you're just making people angry waiting. It's like having, you know, it's like leaving Tom Brady on the sideline for the first nine games.
Right.
You're just going to make everyone angry, and then you reveal Tom Brady's going to play in the ninth game, and everyone's, by the ninth game, what's everyone thinking? Well, fuck you.
Right.
I don't fucking want it anymore. I gave up on this team. We're 0-9. Fuck this. Maybe I'll watch. Maybe I won't. But I hate this organization. Two, Louis should already in the last 9 months be doing something to, you know, like Michael Vick when he was accused and convicted of dog fighting, organizing dog fights. He took it upon himself to reach out to the people who were offended and learn why they were offended and create a program to help these dogs and familiarize himself and educate himself on what he did wrong. And none of that was done in the last 9 months.
Yeah.
The tour should be to benefit those people. That night, all the proceeds from the show should have gone to abused women.
Seems like he really missed a lot of opportunities to do anything. And it's almost like it sort of speaks to having the same ego. You have to have some ego to just go, I'm just going to drop in and start doing new jokes.
It's a huge ego.
A similar ego to, you want to watch me masturbate?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
You probably want to watch me masturbate, right?
I'm not even going to ask.
Yeah.
The exact same ego.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he learned nothing. It is the guy who masturbates that went on the stage. It's the guy who masturbates during business calls.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
I've never thought, hey, this would be a good time to masturbate.
What's amazing to
while
me...
I'm discussing the routing for my Denver gig.
Did you weigh in on Louis at all? Like, you're not big on Twitter these days.
I'm not. I don't understand it.
Did you say anything, Facebook, Twitter, anything like that? You're just like...
I thought about just tweeting the entire set I would have done if I was Louis C.K. I thought that might be interesting. Like, we're all accusing him of doing the wrong material. Well, what is the right material?
Right.
So I thought of just, you know, instead of sending it to him, because I really don't think he deserves it. He's brilliant. He should have wrote it already.
Yeah.
But maybe write it as, hey, man, this is what you should have done. And... And actually go through the
seems like a, like, what's the comedy website? These, like, that seems like a laugh spin editorial. Lachlan Patterson writes what Louis should have said.
Right.
You should do that.
At least someone would fucking read it.
Yeah.
No one reads my tweets.
Right.
I got like 21,000 followers or something. I got like 8 likes. It's all fake.
The only tweet that I had, I didn't send it, but the only tweet I had, and I really had to rack my brain on it, and I came up with, I think I can confidently say that no one's actually seen me masturbate.
Like, I think so too.
I think in my life I'm at zero. Like, I'm not one of those guys who's like, oh, well, how about I just jerk off and you, I'm like, I'm just gonna... That's my me time. That's an alone project. That's my solo project.
That's a good one. Yeah, I don't think I would want people to see me like that.
Yeah.
I had the joke of it's humiliating. I would be like forcing a woman to watch me assemble a barbecue.
Right.
I would never force a woman to.
Can you imagine shoving somebody into a closet and then assembling IKEA furniture
like
in front of them?
You like all those extra pieces? You like all those extra nuts?
You have an Allen wrench?
So fucking dumb.
In your pants?
It's fascinating. So, but at the same time, he is the most powerful man in stand-up comedy. He can do whatever he wants. And he's probably seen, you know, that's probably worked on some women. It's probably worked on more women than it didn't.
Yeah.
I've heard of guys doing it. Oh, you just whip your dick out.
And I've heard from a lot of women since this story broke. They're like, oh, this happens to me all the time. I'm like, who are these guys?
The other half.
Yeah.
The other half.
So, about now on to Lachlan Patterson. Has this, I feel like this could be, not just the Louis thing, but everything that's happening in comedy. And I was thinking about it, just like people are looking to sort of out people as they tweeted this, they did this, French kissed me and I only wanted lips kiss, and like everybody, I feel like you are Mr. Nice Guy. Has anybody called you up and been like, we really need a nice guy right now? What are you up to, Lachlan? We really need a knight in shining armor here. We need to squeak it clean.
I mean, I grew up with an older sister, and I love my mother. I hope no women come forward. The only thing I can say that I've ever done, I'll just come out with it right now. One
exclusive
time,
right here. Joe Prano podcast exclusive.
But I don't even think this. There's nothing wrong with this,
right?
But maybe she did. in the middle of having sex with a girl that I didn't know that well, I just ran out the door, and I ran down the street, and I jumped in my car, and I drove home. Just something in the middle of it. I just didn't like it, and I ran away. And it's great because I'm a guy,
Wait, I can do that. Hold on. Take me through like the actual. Were you naked? Did you run out the door naked?
Yeah. No, I just grabbed my stuff and I backed out the door, and she was just like, she was confused. And
was she like, where are you going?
Yeah.
And you're like, I just got to go?
I just got to go. Exactly. I just got to go. And looking back, I'm very grateful that I'm a man and I can do that. And I don't know if a woman could do that.
Right. That would be great if that girl, when you have your real moment, that girl comes out of the woodwork and is like, that would be like Aziz. That would be like a double Aziz where it's like, I'm not sure that this was that bad. He's like, well, he left in the middle. Like, that's your Me Too moment? He left in the middle?
Good. I'm glad it's not a Me Too moment.
Yeah.
But that, I hope, is, I mean, only based on what I know, but who knows if I've just buried some horrible, insidious.
Well, I was wondering insidious. Because I've been thinking about, when I asked you to do this earlier today, I was like, oh, let me think about like some stuff, Lachlan, that we haven't really talked about on Kooks, or we haven't, talked about. But your comedy, I kind of try to break it down. Like, you would definitely be somebody that would be categorized as like makes fun of the mundane.
Silly.
Right? And I try to boil it down to like one thing. And I like the line I got was like, because people ask me all the time, like, what's your comedy? I never know what to say.
Yeah.
I'm like, observational. I talk about like relationships and stuff. I don't know. Like, but I boiled yours down to like, who are these people?
Right.
Like, who are these people that thought the George Foreman grill doesn't need an on off switch?
Right.
Who are these people that are putting plates on their wall? Who are these people that are getting medium gas?
Yeah, who?
Like, who is, like, it's this shadow figure that you don't know, but then you explore the thing itself.
I do some whys as well. Yeah. I find why to be the best question for comedy, but who's great too, yeah.
But I was thinking about it. Do you have anything in your comedic past that makes you cringe now with the way people are attacking comedy? Like, do you have anything that you said that you're like, oof, glad I don't still do that joke, or like, Did you ever go like, oh, I should search for that one tweet I wrote about this?
Right. God, I'm pretty ready for Disney.
I was watching.
I don't enjoy that. I do the comedy I enjoy. So when a comedian just says something for shock and popularity, it doesn't hit that funny bone for me.
Right.
And I'm trying to hit that for people. I'm not trying to hit the, oh, this guy is crazy. I'm going to fall in love with this guy because he's crazy. I want people to fall in love with me because I'm funny. And a lot of times what people say on stage isn't necessarily funny. It's just shocking. I've never been one of those comedians. And there has to be some comedy behind it, unfortunately, for me.
Right. But and I would think that about you. I would think that, like, if I tried to go through your stuff, I would be like, oh, he doesn't have anything to worry about. But then I also think, like, even stuff in relation. I mean, you used to do the women video games joke,
right?
It's like, that's totally harmless. But now, I think even if you went on stage in 2018, you might have a woman who's like, why does it have to be women? Why does this have to be a gender divide in the video game design?
God.
And I didn't know if you were thinking of ever like, oh, I have something in my, like, is there any, does you I have anything that, that's cringeworthy to you?
I did that joke in New Mexico last week. It still works.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still,
where were you in New Mexico?
Everything.
At a club?
I was at a college, New Mexico Tech. Actually, Eddie Ift hooked me up with the gig. So
you're at a college?
I did a college.
Wow.
Dude.
So that's.
And a full of engineers, full of very young, bright minds who get offended easily. So I think nowadays it just takes more explanation.
Right.
We all have to, as comedians, explain a little bit more, which is boring. Honestly, there's more setup, so you're not going to laugh as loud, ladies and gentlemen of the future. You're going to have to not be offended, you're going to ask the comedian to add an extra sentence to every setup. And
just saying, like, here's why it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You relax, everybody.
Yeah.
Or, I'm not one of these people, but.
Right.
Or, yeah.
Which does, like you said, you're going to laugh a little bit less because the timing of it gets ruined with that. The timing of just setup, punchline.
Yeah.
I've already done that with some of my jokes. Like, oh, well, not me, but, you know.
But it makes room for a comedian who is willing to take the risk. There's a lot more risk now, and with that risk comes more reward. So if you can pull it off, if you are talented enough to pull off a joke that, you know, I've always said a joke isn't offensive unless it's not funny. Michael Richards isn't doing comedy because he's not funny, not because he's racist.
Right.
There's lots of comedians who have said way more racist shit on stage and succeeded. So you just have to be funny.
Now, you said people are going to laugh less. Like, people of the future are going to laugh less. And that's already something that is happening and being sort of promoted, this laughless comedy. I didn't watch the newest HBO special. Is it Drew Michael?
Drew Michael.
I've only heard about it from you and a couple other people, but from what I understand, there's no audience at all. Is that the
no audience? In fact, there's almost like a white noise as well.
Who is he on a stage?
I don't know. It's all black. It's all black. You can only really see his face.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's like
I don't even know what he's wearing.
It's like a produced thing where it's just it's like a Calvin Klein commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like one of those perfume commercials or those Calvin Klein commercials. Yeah. It's Gerard Carmichael directed it, so you know, I look up to him as a comedian who's got two comedy specials and who is a prolific writer. But they call it a special, and they call him a stand-up comedian. Gerard called it a stand-up comedy special, but I haven't seen it listed as a stand-up comedy special. So,
I tried to find it after you said it, after you mentioned it to me, and now I was working on like Apple TV or something like that. But I was house sitting. I was using somebody's HBO on demand.
Yeah,
and it wasn't under. It wasn't in comedy. It wasn't an HBO comedy, and it wasn't. I was like, "Where do I find this?" And I don't. And it wasn't. I wasn't able to like type in a. And I was like, "I'm just gonna watch Hard Knocks or whatever." But like, yeah, it wasn't. I don't know if that's on purpose or if maybe I just couldn't find it. But now, did you laugh at it?
No, I didn't.
That's the most serious answer you've ever given on any podcast ever.
I can't. No. Tell, I can't. I
no,
can't.
Your Honor. I did not.
I can't. I mean, really.
Can you read my answer back to me?
You gotta respect that when someone doesn't laugh, that's you can't blame them for. You can't. When someone tells me they didn't think I was funny, I can't be go. You're wrong.
Right.
I can go. Oh, it's just not for you.
Right.
And there's tons of people like
do
that.
Do you think that there would have been a better chance of you laughing had other people been laughing at it? Had
for
there
sure.
been an audience?
Yeah, there's a cadence and a rhythm and a timing that goes with the audience. The audience laughs. You pace. Drew Michael, he wrote these bits in front of an audience.
Right.
So in the special, he's timing it with an audience. And I feel bad for the guy because I've been doing it like 20 years. I can tell when someone feels like they're bombing. And there are times during his special where I can see he is not having a good time.
Yeah. Well, have you ever been in a situation? I'm sure you have. You've been doing comedy 20 years. But at a party, in an Uber, at a bar, where someone goes, oh, you're a comedian. Tell me a joke. And I don't even kind of play along with that. I don't even go, here's a fucking stock joke. I go, it's not like that. You know what I mean? I'm not doing.
What if you can't say no, though?
How so?
A TV executive says, I want to put you on a show, a stand-up comedy show, and I just need to hear your final joke over the phone.
I mean, I guess I'd have to do it.
I did it once, and I felt it's funny you brought that up. That's exactly how it looked. Drew Michael's special looks exactly how I was on the phone.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to time it with a laugh that's not there. So you're inventing rhythm, which actors do too, but it's not fun.
Right.
You're not connected to the piece as much, and there's a lot of acting. He's acting. He's performing. And performing is half of stand-up. The other half is writing, and I honestly didn't really enjoy the writing. I didn't enjoy the writing, so the performing to me is lost.
So there's
it was like Hamlet.
There's that. I haven't heard. I've only heard from a couple of people about that. I haven't read a whole lot about like, oh, this is groundbreaking or anything like that. But
you gotta watch it. You gotta watch at least 10 minutes.
Okay, I did. Eddie Ift forced me as a hostage in his vehicle to listen to. He pulled it up on Netflix, but he was playing it through his radio. Listen to Nanette. Did you watch Nanette?
I have not seen it.
So this was...
You've seen it or listened to it?
I've listened to it. I've seen parts of it.
Yes.
But I listened to the majority of it under duress. Eddie was like, no, you have to listen to this. And the thing, that one was, she actually gets to a point where she goes, okay, that's my last joke. Up to that point, I was like, oh, those were jokes. But... she actually at one point says it, and then
that's not a good way to close.
And then proceeds for 20 more minutes to just like read men the riot act and like read white men specifically, like white men be better, here's why.
Okay, well this isn't for us then.
Right. But
she wrote an entire special and of course we don't get it.
Yeah. But these are, that one at least is being hailed as like, this is what comedy is going to be. Do you feel any pressure? We talked about, you know, sort of working in the mundane and the silly. Do you feel any pressure to adjust your act at all for like the shifting tide toward people wanting to hear about, you know, pull your socks up or whatever?
Do I feel any pressure to sock more? I'm sorry, that was mean. But honestly, I got into this business because when I was 19, I went to a comedy club for the first time, and I got to see Robin Williams crush. More than, I mean, the energy, the feeling I had, the goosebumps, this experience. And then moving to L.A. and seeing Dane Cook before he was Dane Cook, and the Crush, and all these different guys along the way that no one have come and gone. And I mean, Dom Herrera and Dave Attell. I mean, these guys who can just absolutely crush. And even, there's a feeling I get when a comedian makes me really laugh. Kathleen Madigan. They just hit you, and you're just shocked at how they just nail it, and you can't breathe, and you want them to stop,
right?
And it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling. It's an emotion, and I think that is what stand-up comedy is to me. It's an emotion, and the word comedy, it's a laughter emotion. It's a pleasure emotion. It's a wonderful fucking feeling, man, and that's what I'm trying to give to people. I'm trying to give them this wonderful experience, and when they come after the show and say, I was going through some shit, and I really appreciate that you did that for me, it's like therapy. That's what I'm going for, and I'll just keep doing that, because I don't think because I just, that's what I want to do. I'm not trying to show off how right. artistic I am.
Well, and it's funny you should say that because, like, to me, you know, you've had significantly more success in comedy than I have from, you know, Last Comic Standing, late night spots, the whole thing. You're certainly, you're a national touring headliner. But when you're where I am, I'm trying to go, like, do I have to do that to, because I haven't broken yet and it's 2018 and this is shifting. But what made me say to myself, or the sort of, it was a very simple answer, I actually said to my phone, "Hey Siri, what is comedy?"
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So here, watch this. What is comedy?
Okay, check it out.
And then it was a genre of dramatic works intended to be humorous and make an audience and amuse or by inducing laughter.
Yeah, that last two words.
Inducing laughter. And it's like, I go, well, that's it. I'm just going to continue to try to make people laugh. That's what, by definition. So, like, the idea that we have
by to, definition right now.
Right.
But they're going to probably change that.
Yeah.
They're going to change what that is. Because it's, yeah, they got to change it now. Because that's not what's going on. You have to evolve that definition to include what is the number one comedy special on Netflix doesn't give you a laugh. Well, then that definition is wrong.
Right. Or is Netflix mislabeling things? It's a,
of course,
one moment show. It's a Calvin Klein commercial come to life.
She's the biggest thing in comedy, Joe. You can't ignore it. You can't say it's wrong. It's a fact. It's like a tidal wave. It's here and it's happened.
And it's interesting because it's sort of a bookend on that conversation. We started off with Louis and we ended with that. I feel like they're very much related. Like, for one to, you know, the there had to be a shift, and for one scale to go up, the other had to go down. If Louis doesn't fall, you know, female comedian that doesn't make anyone laugh cannot rise, right? Like, do you think that's a
power balance? That's absolutely true. Isn't it? I mean, if you're Louis, what a stupid time to come back.
Right?
When Nanette is the number one comedy special, when the white man's market, if you look at the Dow Jones on white people.
Right.
It's
sell.
Fucking sell.
Yeah.
And this guy walks in thinking everything's going to be the same as 9 months ago.
Do you think about that in terms of your career, in terms of like what you're booking, what you're going out for? Or is that something that you're conscious of? I'm a white dude.
Of course. Of course.
And you're conscious of it. You're just going to keep doing your thing. Or is there any, do you make any sort of adjustment to anything? I mean, obviously you're not white.
You can't, Joe. You can't be anything that you're not.
Right.
I'm telling you, you're going to slow your progress down if you try to adapt to the culture of stand-up. You can only be you. I can only be me. At the same time, you take jokes about what's going on in the world, and you make them yours. So keep taking all the new, keep up to date with the material, but sift it through Joe Prano's
filter. Yep.
Always. Don't try to change your filter is what I'm saying. And so I, you know, I have a joke about the challenges of being a white man, right? Because I feel like that's kind of funny now.
Right.
And people get all uncomfortable. And so, but I just, you know, I have my own sort of lighthearted way of looking at it. You know, black people got to worry about getting shot by the police. I got to worry about getting a promotion before I'm really ready for it. And so, you know, there's all sorts of hate on white people, and you just have to use it to your advantage. Someone gave me the wonderful advice, weaponize what you have. Even if it seems like it's actually a detriment, turn that around. Everything everyone tells you about you, turn that around and use it against them. Anytime someone, a host, gets on stage after me and says something about my act, if the audience laughs, I take that from that host, and I use that. And I found that it's been very helpful.
Were you officially the runner-up? You're the runner-up on Last Comic Standing.
There can be
correct?
Two runner-ups.
There's two runner-ups. They didn't give you a silver medal?
They didn't give me any.
There's
notice.
No trophy whatsoever.
There's no second place in the season I did.
There was only not the winner, and there was the other two of you.
They went from 3-1.
Is there a part of you that goes like, what's Rodman, who won that season? Do you keep tabs on him?
Oh, man, that show, as much as I love it, I don't really consider it a bar on my career anymore.
Right.
I feel like it was wonderful, and if people come up to me and say I loved you on it or whatever, if they bring it up, I engage them. But I really don't think about that show anymore. In fact, the less I think about that show, the more I'm able to move forward with my career, and I'm trying, you know. Of course, it's still probably the biggest credit I have, but...
I was going to say, the reason I brought up that you have Last Comic Standing. You did the Tonight Show when Leno was the host.
Yeah.
You did the Late Late Show. Drew Carey was guest hosting?
Yeah.
You have your comedy special now is on Starz.
It's on Starz.
That's the one you filmed here in Venice that we talked about a lot on the Kooks.
The Black Netflix.
Is it the Black Netflix? Have you seen a bump from it going on to Starz? Have anybody reached out to you and said like, oh my God, I saw this dude on Starz? Like, do you get the random?
No, but I promote it as much as I can, and I hope to work with Starz one day on another project. So I hope that Starz enjoys it. I don't even get paid for it. Between you and me and everyone you're listening to, I haven't got a dime from Starz.
How does that work?
That's why I don't have an agent or a lawyer anymore.
Right.
It was a really bad deal. And so no one even told me it was on Starz. I found out it was on Starz from an Instagram post.
Really?
Of me. And it said available
new
now.
New on Black Netflix.
And so I have a relationship now with Starz, which is great. They don't really know me and I don't know them, but... when I have a project that I want to sell them or work with them on, I'm going to meet with them and say, hey, I don't know if you know this, but I'm on your network and I'd love to meet with you. But
and they're like, hey, we don't know if you know this. We have the last one for free. So,
yeah.
But
this one's not free.
So was there was the CISO. That's where it originally aired.
Yeah.
And then it was just nowhere. Available nowhere.
Available nowhere.
And then it was available on Starz.
Yeah.
Interesting. Life for Live in Venice.
I know. But a learning experience, wonderful learning experience. And if I could share my experiences, my advice with anybody, it's if you can do stand-up comedy, you can produce anything. Get your friends together, make a few phone calls, offer cash to anyone who's willing to help you, but keep your property. Keep your property.
You don't need to have somebody else own it.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring all that up is because, like I said, you have a long list of credits. You tour all the time. The one thing about you and having done the Kooks with you, everybody always wants to talk to me about Lachlan Patterson. They're always like, "Are you still surfing with Lachlan? How's the podcast going?"
People do that to me with you.
Really?
Yeah, you're on my New Mexico gig. He hosts a podcast with Joe Prano called The Kooks Comedy. So New Mexico Tech knows about you.
Every time, like literally everywhere I go, especially in LA, you know, and I see people who are friends with you. It's always like they always want a Lachlan Patterson update. And the reason is I've noticed like I've never found any single person that has in comedy that's talked negatively about you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that that's not true with me. I'm sure that there are people out there who are like, Joe Prano's a fucking asshole. And I generally think I'm a pretty nice guy, and
You are a nice guy.
I had somebody tell me one. I forget who it was, but some comedian actually heard somebody talking shit about me. It might have been Fairbanks. Heard a comedian talking about shit. He's like, "What? You have a problem with like the nicest guy ever?" And like came into my defense as me being a nice guy. But I'm sure there are people out there that I rubbed the wrong way. But you have a ton of credits. You're seemingly
I have a couple.
Loved by 100% of people in comedy.
Possibly.
You are...
That's very true.
You are a very good-looking guy, as I know you like to be brought up on stage. Why aren't you bigger?
Oh, man. That's a good question. I wish someone would tell me the answer to that. I work hard, but...
And you work hard, and you write a lot of jokes.
God, Joe. I don't know. Can someone tell me? It doesn't... I can't blame anyone but myself. I'm sure I don't work hard enough. I'm sure I don't write enough. I'm sure I don't collaborate enough. And I'm sure I don't have enough connections in the business. When I do meet people in the business, the talk is amazing. They're like, oh, my God, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And
I always hear people like, it always starts with like, you guys hang out, surfing, has a podcast. Oh, we're not doing it. It's always like, he's such a great joke writer, so funny, so smart. It's like everywhere I go, it's just like waves of lock compliments. And then I'm like, great, great career. I mean, we're sitting in the house, this house that you own here in Venice. I mean, you've certainly made a fantastic career for yourself, but I look at you and I go, I mean,
kind of under the radar.
When there are other people out there, who, and you know me, I'm a hater. You know, I go, what the fuck is this guy? How is this guy?
You're just a New Yorker. That's all. You're just a little more abrasive because you're in a thicker melting pot. I mean, and the West is.
It's funny because I feel like sometimes I get more offended that people I think are funny aren't more successful than I get offended that I'm not more successful. Like, I'll watch somebody have their Netflix special, and I'm like, this guy's got a Netflix special? Why doesn't Lachlan have a special? Why doesn't Fairbanks have a special? Why doesn't, you know, Brett Ernst have a special? Why doesn't Michael Costa have a special? I think about all the people that I think are funny.
What's true about all of those guys?
White dudes?
I mean, I don't want to pull race in, but they are all very the similar looking guys. They're very similar looking guys. It's hard. It's hard because you've got John Mulaney,
right?
And you've already got front runners. You've got Anthony Jeselnik and John Mulaney and Mike Birbiglia and Daniel Tosh, and there's a lineup for us. And those guys you named were not at the front of it. The lineup for other shapes and sizes are shorter. Comedy needs to be unique, and you know, as a comedian like me, maybe the reason I'm not doing as well is because I'm not unique enough, and I have to come up with a way to be more unique, and it's on me. I'm not blaming the color of my skin. I need to come up with a uniqueness about me, something that separates me not from black comedians and Latino comics, other white comics. I got to be different than Costa and Fairbanks and Ernst and so forth. And maybe we're all talking about the same shit. Yeah. I know I'm not talking about the same shit as Fairbanks. Nobody's talking about that shit.
That's the thing. And you're not talking about the same. You're certainly not talking about the same thing as Brett Ernst.
Right.
Right.
Well,
And I think you're like, again, I think you live in the silly and you live in the mundane, you know, and I do. I think I certainly am doing something when I do a premise that you literally said before you avoid doing. You're like, I'm not saying this. I'll say my premise a lot is my premise is going to piss you off, but by the end, I've convinced you why it's funny.
I love those.
You know?
Yeah.
And
Bill Burr does that.
And
too.
I more and more, especially in 2018, I deal with like, you know, I make a joke. I have a joke about how I can't date a girl with a sleeve tattoo.
Right.
And pearl clutching.
Yeah.
By people who don't have sleep, you know, it's like, how dare he, you know?
Yeah.
And then it comes around and here's why and, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm old. And when I was, people who are listening to this podcast probably know the joke, but.
You enjoy the hole and digging yourself out of. I love watching a comedian do that. I get uncomfortable in the hole. When Bill Burr says, I'm tired of all these gold digging whores.
Yeah.
And then he goes, let me explain, like 5 seconds later.
Yeah.
For that 5-second pause where he just lets the audience hate him, I can't do that. And that's brilliant.
Yeah.
He knows he's got the ladder. He's just not showing anyone the ladder yet.
Now, did you, like you said, you think maybe you don't work hard enough. But you are already, since that last special, have you already recorded your next thing? Or are you in the process of
putting it? In fact, I just got the edit back today and I have to listen to it. But because I have all the, like I said, produce it yourself, because I've been producing it myself, I have the opportunity to record multiple sets. And I recorded about 10 sets, and I'm about to listen to the last one and the last weekend that I recorded, and with all the edits, and see if it's the one. And if it's the one, I'll release it.
And where was that recorded?
It was recorded in the Pacific Northwest.
Your home, your homeland.
Yes, I did shows in Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia. Sorry, Alaska. I know you're part of the Pacific Northwest, but I didn't make it up there this year to record.
It's pretty far.
Alaska?
Yeah.
It's not as far as you think.
Well, I just mapped it thinking, because when you look at, I was up in Seattle, and you look at the coast there, you're like, oh, you could drive up to, it's as far from LA as New York is. Like it's.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I think it's farther, actually.
Is it further or farther?
Farther.
I don't know.
Further. Fierter.
More
farness.
More far.
So that's an hour of comedy? It's an hour of Lachlan Patterson?
I think it'll be like 45, to be honest. I might throw in some. So I did a bunch of new bits as well.
New bits?
Yeah. Some new bits, dude. Do you have a new bits section on this show?
I don't, but I actually have that on here. I was like, new bits?
Let's do new bits.
Should we do a new bits?
For sure. But yeah, I'll record. I'll release it when it's ready. Before 2019 is my goal. And I haven't got a name for it yet. I've shopped around a few. I think you even know I've shopped around a few with you. But I'm really excited to get it out of the way.
Can you give us a name that you liked but that it won't be? Can you just give us the realm you're playing in? Jokes I Chop Wood To? Is that
Jokes to Chop Wood To was one that Moontown's been turning down every time. So I can't do that. She hates that one. I had... what else did I have? You know, I was going to call it Bananas, but there's already, I think, an album called Bananas. And
Bananas would be the name of your bunny.
Yeah.
Is she referenced in the comedy?
Yeah, it's a he.
He, sorry.
It's okay. Everyone thinks all bunnies are she's.
And everybody thinks all dogs are he's until you like correct them. Usually comes from like what you have, right? Like, I now have a female puppy.
Yeah.
And everybody always goes, he. And I'm like, she. I never did that before. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Vince, everybody's like, what's his name? I'm like, Vince.
And he and she is something that we invented.
Yeah.
But we put it on our dogs as well. Really? The dog doesn't know?
The dog's cisgender.
The dog has no fucking clue.
I can preview a new bit for you. I can't figure out figure out the wording of it, but I
don't have a notepad, but we'll see.
New bits. I want my child to be whatever gender is associated with ice cream, just because I want to have a Carvel cake at the gender reveal party. I don't need a blue cake or a pink cake. I just want that chocolate and vanilla ice cream cake with the crunches in the middle.
That's your favorite?
Which gender is that? Which gender is that when we cut open that cake?
Oh, I get it. So you want a blue cake?
Well, you know that's the thing they do now. Like they cut into the cake. The cake's blue. You had a boy. You're having a boy.
You got to explain that. That's something that you only see online.
The gender reveal party.
A gender reveal party. I've seen golfers have a ball that's pink or blue.
Yeah, guys are hitting softballs. Like there's all kinds of these gender reveal parties, which is I also find it funny. This is not part of the bit or potential bit, but. The gender reveal party started happening at the same time that they tried to get rid of genders.
That's part of the bit now.
It is.
Yeah, that's definitely part of the bit. That's a good setup for the bit anyway.
Yeah.
You have to include that. What, like, is it? I love that we created these gender reveal parties, but now we have to also be sensitive to the fact that who knows what this kid is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I just want my kid to be. An ice cream cake from Carvel. What gender is that?
Skin color.
Yeah. Eddie has one where he says, I just wanted the cake to be chocolate so I could leave. That's an Eddie If joke. That's a classic Eddie If.
That's pretty fucking Eddie. It makes me laugh, though. It makes me laugh. It made me laugh.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about laughter that I will love, I love to say, is that it's not something you control. If you laugh at a racist joke, that's it. It was funny to you, and it's so wonderful that you can't control it. It's something that is just, it's wonderful. And I don't think there's anything like that.
I also think, isn't there something to being able to laugh at somebody else saying it? Like, I often laugh at, I would never say that. And it happens with Eddie a lot. I laugh that he's saying it.
Yeah.
I laugh that he would put the words together and say them publicly into an amplification system.
It's so much more funny that it's Eddie.
Yeah.
For sure. I agree.
And it's like that. To me, when I'm watching comedy, I never think at all that my laughter is somehow tied to me supporting this person's message.
Please. Oh, man. How many times you got to tell an audience these are jokes? But it's such a wonderful experience.
Jokes, people.
They're just jokes. I heard a great one about if you get your phone wet, put it in rice. You told me this one.
Yeah, yeah. I forget whose joke it was.
Tell me the joke.
I forget whose joke it is.
Someone else's joke.
Yeah. If you get your phone wet, you're supposed to put it in rice because rice attracts Asian people and Asian people can fix your phone.
Which is fucking hilarious. And also stereotyping Asians as
enjoying rice and being good with technology.
Yes. So you laugh and then you're like, well, those are stereotypes. Should I be offended? Well, I can't. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
I just laughed. You caught me off guard. And some of my favorite jokes, unfortunately, even as a kid, it's such an innocent thing laughing. So quit trying to make me racist for laughing at a great Native American joke
right.
when I was a little kid. I just love to laugh, and I've never thought I was better than Native Americans. I've never thought I was better than black people, Asians, whatever. And that's what's important. So,
in fact, I've always thought I was worse than black people because I always just wanted to be an athlete growing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like,
I looked up to black
people
more than white people.
And,
but you don't get to say that even anymore.
Right. You can't even say it in a complimentary way. I always looked up to you guys because you were physically bigger than I was.
Because our ancestors bred black slaves. It was a horrible thing. We do the same with fucking horses, man. White people are the worst. I joke that I'm not even comfortable sleeping in a master bedroom.
See, that's good.
Right? And that's essentially I walk a safe line. I don't walk the wonderful daring line that some
I think
other
that's the problem with audiences these days too is cuz like maybe it's just that being in comedy, like I've never let it go, but I'm just there. It's totally reactionary.
Yeah.
I'm just reacting to what somebody's saying. And I think too many people are now in their heads about whether or not it's okay to laugh at it. It's okay to laugh at it if you laugh at it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you want to, you can even laugh at it and then be like, not sure I am comfortable with it. Not sure I want to be this guy's friend who writes jokes like these.
Isn't that wonderful, though?
Doesn't mean that I don't think it's funny.
To laugh and then doubt your own self. Like, what kind of a person am I that I laugh?
Yeah.
I love that. You're normal. It's nothing wrong with you. And quit blaming us for your uncomfortability. We just gave you an opportunity to laugh. And if halfway through that laugh you changed your mind, it's your problem for not relaxing.
Right.
Just relax. That'd be a funny thing to say at the end of all your jokes.
Yeah.
Relax.
Relax. Just jokes, people.
I got a new bit that I've only tried on my girlfriend, and I love it, and I'm sure it's dumb. But she told me, because she's pregnant now, and I can say that, I guess. We're going to have a little...
Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks, man.
I was going to ask you if we could talk about it, because I do have your girlfriend being pregnant questions.
Okay.
But let me hear the new bit first.
Maybe she's not super comfortable yet, but we're 3 months pregnant. I'm going to have a boy. So there you go. But
I saw your girlfriend, and she's clearly pregnant.
Yeah, and she's trying to... So. She's just shy. You know how shy she is.
Yeah.
So she told me the other day that your baby, when it's born, cries in the accent of the mother. That's pretty weird, hey?
Yeah.
Which means if you're if the mother is Australian, the baby cries like this. Wah, wah. Wah, wah. Hey? Wah?
Aye. That's great.
That's all.
You got to do, you just have to have two more of them now.
Wah, wah. Two more. Oh, accents.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got the Aussie one.
You should.
I watched a Guy Pearce movie, and I just noticed they always they go up on the last inflection. Hey,
yeah.
Well, hey.
I like that. That's good.
Okay, good.
Also, any Australian bit. This is always killer.
Yeah.
So you're gonna be a dad. Congrats. Mm,
thanks, buddy.
Maybe. Are you having it for the material? Are you having a kid for the new bits?
It was an accident, but I am looking forward to the
when it comes out. You should go new bit,
new bit,
new bits.
I should name them.
Yeah,
just new bit.
Are you looking forward to being a dad comic? I said when we were setting up. I feel like you're my dad comic.
Yeah,
I feel like you're my comedy father.
Well, I feel like I have a lot to share. I don't know if I have a lot to share with a kid. I definitely have a lot to share with comedians. I love helping comedians, and if even just in the way that I was guided, where I come off stage feeling like it sucked, and some comedian just walks up and said, "Hey, I really like that bit." If you could say that to comedians, and you are honestly saying that, it encourages them to keep digging there. Grant Lyon, I did a show last night with Grant Lyon. He did a bit about his dad. Was a historian, specifically worked only on who are the two guys who traveled across America?
Lewis and Clark.
Lewis and Clark. So whenever he was trying to tell his son something, advice, it was always based on his Lewis and Clark history, right? So yeah. So right away I'm laughing. And then he goes into a really quick bit that the punchline is Sacagawea. And I felt like I laughed like you just did at the setup. So, and he said goodnight, and that was the end of the bit. I'm like, man, you got to keep digging. And he's like, I can't. I've tried that bit so many times. I'm like, so I gave him the advice I always have, which is people don't know anything about Lewis and Clark. Use that to your advantage.
Yeah.
Don't go digging up information on Lewis and Clark on Wikipedia and trying to find comedy there. It's exhausting. Go on what people think. And what you think about Lewis and Clark about that time. It's fine. Talk about canoes.
Right.
Talk about, you know, hunting or whatever. It doesn't have to. I've been doing these period comedy pieces. I don't know if you notice. I do these shows once a month.
Oh, like where?
Stand Up When.
Yeah.
And they send you a time period, like 1902. You're going to be a comedian from 1902. And then I go, okay, great. So I go digging up on 1902, and I go on stage a month later, and it sucks because they don't even know that in 1902 women were burned to the cross or whatever.
Right. You just have to guess what they're gunning. You're almost better off just doing what you think you know about 1902.
Right. And as I was bombing, I said, did I get the candle yet? And that gave the audience a laugh, and I said goodnight. So that I learned was candles.
Yeah.
That's what they fucking know about 1902. So that's what we know about Lewis and Clark is candles. And if we know that little, then it makes it easier.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I think, you know, we were just talking about it before, like, oh, what's, you know, maybe what's the thing? It's like, maybe this is this is what you've been waiting for the whole time. Like,
the kid, your dad.
You see a lot of dad comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Lachlan Patterson dad plus the minutia of the silly, you know, this could be, it all comes together here. Start wearing the kid on stage, like a Hangover style, like in the Baby Bjorn. Bunny in one hand, baby in the other. That's your comedy album cover.
You've always given me good comedy album advice. I think, you know, obviously a kid, there's going to be a ton of material, right?
Yeah.
He's going to say shit, and I get to have that. But it's all been a very big surprise to me. I'm very surprised that it's even lasted this long. I've always assumed that this would just, I'm too old for a kid. And
right.
I never thought I'd have a kid. I've always thought, oh, I'll just be one of those guys who doesn't have a kid. Better for the environment. And maybe if I become successful, I'll adopt a kid and I'll donate a bunch of money to kids' foundations and
right.
be that guy. And then all of a sudden, I go on a road trip for 36 days. We come back. The day we come back, we get a pregnancy test. We're pregnant.
If this van's a rockin'.
Oh, dude. I don't know how that happened, but.
Don't come a knocking because the bunny will be very upset. It hates knocking.
Bunny hates it. I can hear you coming. The bunny can sense you.
This is something that you hear now a lot asked to like football players, right? Like, would you let your kid play football? Would you let your kid do stand up?
I'll let him do whatever he wants, but man,
have a trade.
It's just a bad. It's a bad move. It's a bad move, and that's why I will never name him Lachlan Patterson Jr. I'll never put him under that sort of. What's that called?
Just name him LeBron James Jr.
Oh, man. I mean, LeBron taught me that. Yeah. That was his regret, naming his kid LeBron James Jr. I have the same regret. I would not do that. I would not put my kid under that pressure. I don't even know if I'm going to give him my last name.
Yeah.
You don't need to give them your last name.
Right.
I can call him
You don't need to give him
Steve
any
Jackson.
Last name. He could just be Cher.
That's
you
true.
Know, one name.
I mean,
I'm not going to give my kid my name. I'm not going to do a Joe Prano because, I mean, just the credit card debt alone will cripple the kid.
Right.
Kid comes out with credit card debt.
Let him start with his own
yeah.
pieces of the puzzle. Let him do his own thing.
Now,
if he wants to be a girl, hey, man, we'll go shopping for girls.
You
clothes.
And Moontown, mm-hmm. not married,
mm-mm.
having a kid, very Venice of you. Live from Venice.
Very live from Venice. Really?
Was that something you considered with the baby, or that's just completely separate? I mean, isn't there like stuff with like, you know, insurance and all that jazz? I think I asked you about this with your green card, and you're like, it actually makes it harder.
We should talk about it. Yeah, I should talk about it with her.
With her, not with
yeah,
me.
No,
you're like we're talking about it.
No, I. There's a lot.
I should talk about this with you, Joe. That's a great point.
There's a lot.
You can help me out.
There's a lot of stuff that's, you know, we're really 3 months. We probably should get started on, like, I don't know, taking classes, and I don't know. I don't know anything.
Right.
But yeah, that seems like something. You know, I think it's fine if I say this, but Tommy Jonigan had a kid with a girlfriend, and I said same thing to him. So you're gonna get married? And he said probably so that my kid doesn't get people asking him awkward questions in school and have to be put in an uncomfortable situation where he has to explain something he doesn't understand. That made sense.
Yeah.
At the same time, fuck those kids.
Also, like I said, very Venice. You know, like Venice, I don't think anybody's got that question happening to them in the Venice country day school or whatever where everybody rides their own bicycle with a surfboard rack or rides their skateboard to class. And what percentage of like young Venice kids do you think are parents are unmarried? Probably a fairly high percentage, probably significantly higher than the rest of America.
I think it's the future, man. Well, I don't think it's the future. I think a lot of people need to get married. You need to get married if you don't trust your husband or wife, for sure. If you don't know if they're going to leave, trust them. Trust
right.
me, get married, man. Get a contract.
Because if you think they're a little jittery, nothing like a contract to
yeah.
really settle them in.
You got to be covered.
Yeah.
Cover your ass. But me and my woman talk all the time. We have an arrangement that I know is agreed. And I don't need a lawyer to help me make sure that she sticks to our bargain.
Right.
And vice versa. We have integrity. We have character. We both have built it together.
And you got a bunny.
Yeah.
It's like, who gets the bunny?
I mean, if we're going to split him up?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that bunny. Dude, he's so fucking cute. He comes up, he wakes me up in the morning by licking my face.
Every day? Just he sleeps in the in your bedroom?
We have the door open. He can come in, but he wants treats. So he gets me up and he's like, I want treats.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cute.
It's like in every sitcom where the kid wakes up the dad in the morning, like, "Hey, you make me breakfast?" You get a bunny hops into bed. Now you're gonna. I mean, talk about a sitcom to be. No, not married, bunny, baby. What is this? I mean,
We could, yeah.
Hey, NBC, do you hate money? Could you guys call me?
I don't know if I need cameras in my house, but yeah, I think they're missing out on a golden opportunity.
Yeah. Do you have any more new bits before we wrap up? I think you just gave me the
I'm trying to do one.
You love doing new bits. That's
I
why
do I love
I was going to I was going to offer to you. I didn't want to steal a segment from our
segment. This should be the podcast.
Yeah.
New bits should be a podcast.
New bits.
I could do one more. I mean, I just tried it for the first time last night, and it's about how like the internet doesn't want you to throw anything out. Every time I throw out an email, it says archive. Do you get that too?
Yeah.
Where is that going? Like to some secret basement?
Yeah.
So in case you want to just, in case you're going to do a cold case investigation.
Some old lady down there is just like, welcome to the archives. You looking for that yoga studio email? Yes, I believe I found that away recently.
It's a 2014 Nordstrom 40% off sale.
Huh, must be here somewhere. Let's just go down the rows.
Like Ghostbusters, the old lady in Ghostbusters?
It'd be great. That's a good sketch. It's like going into your archives. Welcome to the archives.
Trying to get a whereabouts of a cryogenic therapy email. 50% off.
Yeah. Yes, I believe that's coupons. Where did I?
Follow me.
Grab a basket.
And I feel like that it's like that room where they bury the Ark.
Yeah.
You know, that warehouse where they put the Ark in Raiders Lost Ark. Just the archives. Relax with your archives.
Yeah.
I don't need this ever again. I don't need to go back to it.
No, I just want trash.
I just want to throw it out, but you can't. It just archives it, one day I was like, "Let me just clean out my archives." You can't find them.
No,
I don't know
nowhere.
Where are they?
Exactly. Where did I archive that?
That's all I got on that.
I like it. It's good. It's a good beginning.
Yeah, it goes with some other trash shit about like when you delete your trash and it says, "Are you sure you want to delete?" Like I don't need my garbage man coming into my bedroom at 6 in the morning. Hey, you sure about this Miracle Whip container?
Yeah.
You sure about this tuna can?
Just want to double check before I throw this into the truck.
Hey, you absolutely positive? I went to sell an iPhone on eBay, and I sold it, and I had to delete the everything. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
So you click clear entire phone. Are you sure you want to clear? Yes. And then it says something else. Are you positive? I said yes. And then it keeps doing it.
Yeah.
Are you absolutely positive?
Super duper sure.
Come on.
Come on, guy. What are you thinking? Deleting everything?
Just take a couple of days.
This is everything.
I'm going to come back.
Even your archives?
Tell you what. I'm going to shut down. You call me in 2 days. We still want to do this, we'll do this.
Yeah.
No, I just want to fucking do it, man.
You have to have two different fingerprints on there. Turn them simultaneously.
How do you get that deep into deleting the entire phone by accident?
You know what? I'm just going to throw this in the toilet.
Like just pocket.
Then it'll definitely be gone.
How do you pocket dial delete the entire phone?
Yeah. That's good.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. But I don't think they want you to delete shit. That's the thing.
Right.
They want you to keep everything.
Of course. Yeah.
You ever take a photo and delete it?
That's where your archives are. Your archives are somewhere. And some guy's like, oh, you thought you just archived that? Yeah, you did. You archived it into my fucking
my
server. It's mine now.
That's
I'm
mine.
Arc
Cloud.
Of archives.
Clouds move.
Yeah.
Clouds disappear.
I have a thing now. It's almost like new bits. I've been sending them to friends. I got to get you on the list. My unsent tweet of the day. Because now I'm so afraid to tweet things. That
unsent tweets are way better than
unsent
tweets.
I send it to people and I hashtag unsent tweet of the day. I got to get you on my unsent tweets list. But I had one today. I'm going to start saying them on the podcast, I think, because I learned something from Chris Wilde. He has no social media, barely, but he goes on podcasts and says the most horrible things that anybody ever says on podcasts. And he works regularly in Hollywood. No one's listening to these podcasts.
Yeah.
No one of importance.
No. And the people that are listening know how to keep secrets.
Yeah. So here's my unsent tweet of yesterday was, did you see this Cosmopolitan cover there's a Cosmo cover with an obese girl on it?
I did not see that.
She's gigantic. And people are like very excited about it. This is, you know, this is a turning point for women. There's a gigantic girl on, and so
unhealthy.
Oh yeah, she has a tattoo of somebody's face on her arm, and I'm not joking. Yeah, and I'm not joking. That person's face is bigger than your face.
What?
Yeah, she's big.
What?
She's morbidly obese.
Wow.
So my unsent tweet was that picture saying, people are really excited about this Cosmo cover, but I don't know who either of these girls are.
That's good. I like it.
Because she's two people.
She's massive.
Guys, are we on? Okay. That was my unsent tweet of the day. And
that's how I laugh, by the way.
Yeah.
I go, that's good.
That's good.
I sit there and watch comedians all day, and I go, that's good.
And then this... this other bit that I'm working on, I just tried this at Poncho's on Monday. It came up while I was talking to Ruther on Dirty Sports, but you remember the bit I had about sharks and why do people bring up the worst thing that could possibly happen to you while you're serving? So it does okay, but I started talking to him. We got into a conversation about his mom wouldn't go in the ocean when she visited, but they went to church on Sunday. So I did some research. Do you know, this is real facts, 100 times more likely to be molested by a Catholic priest in America than you are to get attacked by a shark.
Wow.
2 people a year get attacked by sharks. 205 people accuse a priest of molesting them. On average, a year in the last 50 years.
And I'll throw out another probable stat here. Everyone reports their shark attack.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck.
Yeah, there's no one there who's like, oh, maybe I was asking for it. I'm not going to mention this shark attack.
Oh, man.
What happened to your arm? I fell on knives. I fell on a knife rack.
You never are going to waste an opportunity to tell people you were attacked by a shark. In fact, I'll bet
you. Is everything okay? You seem a little weird lately. Ever since you were in the ocean, you seem really bloody and full of teeth. No, everything's fine. Nothing happened out there, I swear.
Yeah, exactly. No. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good addition because I actually have in – I tried to write it out, and I have in there, and that's just the people that are reporting, right?
Yes.
Everybody reports their shark attacks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's funny. The act out of the uncomfortable talking about a shark attack is so great too. Yeah. Like, I don't want to –
You were at the ocean on Sunday. And
no, I wasn't.
You've been a little quiet since then. No. Everything's fine.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, beach as usual.
What's that scar on your leg?
Where's your leg below the knee? I gave it away. I don't like it. It's fine. Nothing happened.
I got to go.
Yeah, so I did it on stage the other day, and I didn't even really have a closing joke.
I love it.
I just said, yeah, so stop asking me, you know, if I'm afraid of sharks, but also, what the fuck are any of you going to church for? Like, how are you going to church? Like,
fuck.
Stay out.
Yeah.
They should do Jaws about priests.
Where'd you get that stat?
So I just looked it up, and I just looked up shark attacks, and I found actually the same range. So the range I found was since 1950. On average, 2 shark attacks a year in the United States. That includes Hawaii and Florida, which actually has more shark attacks than Hawaii. And then I don't even know how to get those out of there. But and then 1 shark attack every 2 years on average is fatal. So half of a fatal shark attack a year. On average since 1950, 205 people per year accuse just Catholic priests of molesting them.
I love that you're doing research on shark attacks.
Yeah. I mean, God, can you imagine the Google watcher, like the people who are like, this guy's doing shark attack fucking research and priest fucking
Dude,
research.
I would, I would read that article.
Yeah.
If you wrote an article on that, that would make it in the stupid inertia or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a great weird stat. I've always said it's lightning, right? You're more likely to get struck by lightning. But sexual molestation is a much more stronger fear. And funny, I could see the poster already for the
But people willingly.
A priest coming up from the under the water and a little boy swimming on top.
Yeah, just the Jaws poster. That's a mouth open priest coming up from underneath a half naked swimming boy.
Little Billy Kittner, or whatever his name was.
That's hilarious. We're gonna need a bigger something, right? I don't know.
Yeah,
we're gonna need bigger handcuffs.
Blockbuster.
So that's it.
That's it.
That's our show, Locke.
Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you, watch you, see you? Locke and Patterson live from Venice Beach.
It's on Stars.
Is on Stars.
They can also.
Don't worry, I'll edit that you called it Black Netflix out because you can't say that anymore.
I can't.
You can say African American Netflix.
All right. I think that the friends, my African American friends, would prefer being called Black.
Honestly, you should talk to Stars now that you have a relationship with them. Have you guys thought about just changing your name to Black Netflix?
Blackflix?
Blackflix. So Live from Venice Beach is on Stars.
Yeah. And they can also check me out. They can go to LachlanPatterson.com. I just posted all my latest dates. I don't have ticket sales for all those Atlantic Canada dates yet. I'm hoping they'll open the tickets. For
Atlantic
those.
Canada?
Yeah, I'm in Halifax, Newfoundland, New Brunswick, Prince Edward Island. But I'll be in the Stir Crazy Comedy Club in September, I think, in Arizona, Glendale, Arizona. So if you're in Arizona, come by. And I'll post everything on that site. So log in.
And if you enjoyed new bits and you enjoyed general convo about comedy between Lachlan Patterson and I, there are 130 something, I think, episodes of the Kooks of Comedy
out
there.
Kooks of Comedy, dude.
So I know there are people that haven't listened to the Kooks of Comedy. And I'm sure a lot of my audience is also Kooks of Comedy fans. But for those of you who are new, found me through whatever else, go check out the Kooks of Comedy. Have you been surfing?
Surf.
Ding.
It's been small.
Is your lady okay?
She's got a wave storm. She's surfing still. Can you do that?
Three months pregnant. Surfing for two.
Three, dude. We rode a wave. All three of us rode a wave together.
Really?
How corny is that? She's still surfing. The waves haven't been good.
You hoisting her while she hoists the bunny? Surfing for four?
Four, dude.
That's your album cover.
Four. In a barrel?
Yeah.
Chopu?
the beauty of Photoshop.
Yeah.
So, LachlanPatterson.com, at Lockjaw on Twitter.
And Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Is the Instagram bit still not ducking? Are we still not ducking?
I haven't done no ducking in a long time. I think since my trip to, I think my last one was in Bend, Oregon. I just felt like it really hasn't got a lot of evolution in it yet. But if ever I see an opportunity to pull it back in, I will. I just got new xylophone sticks, so I'm excited about busting that out again. And
I think the xylophone stage. I remember tweeting only about your bowel movements. Yeah. I remember xylophone, the bunny, no ducking. I think xylophone's my favorite Instagram shtick besides the talking nutcracker. That was an all-time classic.
Oh yeah, thanks,
that was,
man.
That was an all-time great.
Found a nutcracker in an alley.
So check out Lachlan. Go see him live. One of my favorite comedians to
thanks,
watch.
Man.
I said I started the show saying I didn't know how long it would take, but people were saying, "Hey, you got to talk some comedy this week." No, I had a first person, had my leadoff hitter, my Ricky Henderson of comedy talk on the Joe Prano podcast, had to be my comedy dad, Lachlan Patterson.
Thanks, man.
So thanks for being here. Come check me out this weekend up in the Bay Area, next weekend in Chicago. Headlining my first weekend.
Where?
The Comedy Bar in Chicago.
Nice.
I think that was on my comedy to-do list for 2017 that we did on the Kooks of Comedy, but it happened in 2018. Comedy Bar, live Dirty Sports Podcast Thursday, me headlining Friday, Saturday, Sunday, joeprano.com for all dates, @FixYourLife on Twitter. If you like the show and you want to support it, go to patreon.com/JoePrano. Everybody, this episode happened because those people that support on Patreon have a direct line to me, and they were like, "Hey man, what about Louis? Hey man, you gotta sit down with Lachlan soon." And I was like, "Fuck, all right, you guys are the ones that are showing true support, and I gotta listen to you." So thank you for making this episode happen. And if you want to be a part of that crowd, patreon.com/JoePrano. I don't know if you know this, Lachlan, but my theme song is a Doug Ray jam.
Of course it is.
So I'm gonna let you do the honors.
Cue Doug Ray.
Hey Joe, I like Joe's show. I tell everybody that's my shit. See, I had a long ride, turn the volume up high, and the time flew by so quick. I laughed out loud, that's what it's about. I really don't feel safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause he drinks till he hits the flow. Hey Joe, it's time to stop the show. Pack it up and away we go. Donate cause we almost broke. Everybody, that was Joe.